1 Samuel 14:1-14 and verse 23. 1 Samuel chapter 14, verses 1 through 14 and verse 23. Amen. 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 And it reads, one day Jonathan, son of Saul, said to his young armor bearer, "Come, let us go over to the Philistines' outpost on the other side." But he did not tell his father. Saul was staying on the outskirts of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree in Migron. With him were about 600 men, among whom was Ahijah, and who was wearing the ephod. He was the son of Ichabod's brother, Ahitub, son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the son of the priest in Shiloh. No one was aware that Jonathan had left. On the each side of the pass that Jonathan intended to cross to reach the Philistine outpost was a cliff. On one was called Bozez, and the other Sinai. On one cliff stood the north toward Michmash, and the other south toward Geba. Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, "Come, let us go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised men. Perhaps the Lord will act in our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few." "Do all that you have in mind," his armor bearer said. "Go ahead, I am with you heart and soul." Jonathan said, "Come on then, we will cross over toward them and let them see us. If they say to us, 'Wait there until we come to you,' we will stay where we are and not go up to them. But if they say, 'Come to us,' we will climb up, because that will be our sign that the Lord has given them into our hands." So both of them showed themselves to the Philistines' outpost. "Look," said the Philistines, "the Hebrews are crawling out of their holes they were hiding in." The men on the outpost shouted to Jonathan and his armor bearer, "Come up to us and we'll teach you a lesson." So Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "Climb up after me. The Lord has given them into our hand of Israel." Jonathan climbed up using his hands and feet, with his armor bearer right behind him. The Philistines fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer followed and killed behind him. In that first attack, Jonathan and his armor bearer killed some 20 men in an area of about a half an acre. Verse 23, "So on that day, the Lord saved Israel, and the battle moved on beyond Beth Aven." Lord, we thanks for your power and your grace. Give your servant grace and mercy as he brings the word for you. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen. As you take your seat, I want to speak to you from the subject of radical faith. Just simple, radical faith. We're still in our series, Matters of the Heart, because we're dealing with our individual hearts in this series, but radical faith. Sometimes one snapshot of a moment of one person's life is a caricature of a person's entire character. This is that moment for Saul. Can't you see Saul just chilling under the shade of the pomegranate tree? People waiting on him, fanning him, and he's sitting there chilling while he's supposed to be in battle with the enemy. We shouldn't be surprised, because Saul was always willing to let somebody else fight his battles. When he was supposed to be fighting Goliath, and Goliath was calling him out, he let David, a little boy, go out and fight on his behalf. In fact, he had done that on several occasions. That's why Saul would get jealous when the women would sing, "Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000. It's amazing how different these two people are. Although Saul was a laid-back person waiting on stuff and trying to avoid it, his son was a direct opposite, a bold, proactive soldier who didn't try to avoid fights. As we can see, he went and picked some. Saul was playing not to lose. Jonathan was playing to win. That's the difference between fear and faith. If you let fear dictate your decisions, you will live defensively, reactively, and cautiously. Living by faith is playing offensive with your life. It's the difference between holding out on God and going all out for God. Jonathan picking a fight with the Philistine was crazy. You understand that?
But don't think people not going to talk about you when you step out on crazy faith. They talked about Peter. I'm sure they laughed at Peter and said, look, you tried to walk on water, but you sank. But isn't it amazing that those who never get up off their blessed assurance always the ones talking about people and ridiculing people while they sit at the comfort of life on the boat? They never get out the boat, yet they always criticizing somebody else. In fact, even when David went out to battle for Saul, Saul tried to tell him to grab the armor, but David said, I can't use the armor because I haven't used them before. Don't listen to people who are always on the sidelines and never in the battle. You're going to stop worrying about people that's always talking about you can't do this and you can't do that and they never do anything. You know why? Because people would try to limit you, Brother Spells, because they are limited. And don't let anybody limit you because of their limitations. In fact, don't you limit yourself because of your limitations. Because God said, I would do exceedingly abundantly above whatever you can ask, think, or imagine according to the power that works in you. God is the author and finisher of your faith. He's the one that began a good work in you, and he's the one that will finish it. Stop limiting yourself because the people around you are doubting you, and stop doubting what you can do because it's not you that's going to do it anyway. It's the Lord. If you give your gifts to God, God will magnify your gifts and put some super on your natural. Oh, baby, there's no such thing as Superman, but there's a super you. There's no such thing as Spider-Man or Spider-Woman, but you are a gift from God. And when God begins to magnify the Holy Ghost within you, I know there ain't no real superheroes, baby, but if you're a Christian, you got some power. Oh, they're going to talk about you. But what can they do but call you normal? I'd rather you call me crazy than normal. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Either I'm going to be a radical faith person or I'm going to be normal. See, some of y'all will go around and say, he's so young and ambitious. And that offends me. And I might tell you, thank you for sharing. That just means I don't really want to hear you, but I'm being respectable to you because I'm not ambitious at all. But I am a man of faith and I do what God has instructed me to do. Oh, come on, baby. If I was ambitious, Maxwell Realty would be right here because the way people move so slow here, I know I'd be a millionaire real quick, baby, because I know how to make some money. If I was ambitious, I would have stayed at home in Atlanta, remained being a principal, and kept my company still going. But I'm not a man of ambition. I'm a man that want to do whatever God has instructed him to do. And when you begin to do what God has called you to do, people will call you radical. People will call you crazy. But one thing ain't gonna never call you is a loser, because as long as you do what God has told you to do, you can't do nothing but win. Oh, David's brothers criticized him and told him, why you ain't keeping the sheep? But David didn't worry about that. He turned his back and began to talk to other folk. What's going to happen if I win? David didn't worry about other folk, and he went out there and killed Goliath. He didn't let his brother Eliab or Abinadab limit him because of their limitations. Back to the text. Now, what motivated Jonathan to climb the cliff? What made him so bold and cast out all common sense and fear? During the early days, let me just give you the background of Saul's kingship. The Philistines controlled the western border of Israel, and battle lines were drawn at the pass called Michmash. Saul seemed content with sitting on the sidelines, but Jonathan wanted to be on the front line. He said, come, let us go over to the other side where the Philistines are. See, first of all, going out for God, the first step is always the hardest. Have you ever been sitting in the house and you said, I'm going to go to the weight room, and you don't want to go to the weight room, but once you get to the weight room, you are right. The problem was getting out the door. Have you ever said, I'm going to go walking, but you don't want to go walking, but as soon as you get outside, you're okay. That first step is hard to get out the door. The same thing with faith. The first step is the hardest step. When you begin to make that first step of faith and begin to step out on the water, God begins to empower you. Anybody play video games? I don't, but I know as you go along in the video games, they begin to give you more weapons and more power as you go from one level to the next. You don't have as many powers on the lower level because you don't need them, because the people you fighting, not that most, not not that good. But as you begin to go from level 2 and level 3 and level 4, the game begins to give you more weapons and more power. That's how God does. The minute you begin to walk out on faith, the minute you start walking toward the battle God has you going through, he'll begin to equip you more, because the more you go into the battle, the stronger you gotta be. He's just like the video game, baby. He'll give you more powers. He'll give you more gifts. Some spiritual gifts I didn't have until I became a pastor. Why? Because I didn't need those gifts. But the minute you walk into the pastorship or whatever God has called you to do, I know you thought you couldn't do it, and I know you can't do it because you can't. But when you begin to get empowered by God, God can do all things. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I can't do it, God. I can't do it. We be crying, Lord, I can't do it. No, you can't do it, but God can do it. Once you start knowing that it's not about you and it's about God, you will start stepping out and doing things that you don't have the power to do. God will allow you to get put in situations where you can't do nothing but walk by faith. Oh, y'all don't want to hear me. Y'all don't want to hear me yet. I'm going to say that for a little later, because it didn't seem like y'all wanted to hear me. But there comes a time in life where enough is enough. You feel me? Enough is enough. Enough is enough. And you get to the point where you're tired of staying in the same place. You tired of being defeated. You're tired of living a mediocre life. You're tired of being in the same place. There will come a day when the pain of being in the same place does not hurt as much as the pain of change. And God will allow you to be hurting so much in the midst of you being in one place that it'll make you move to the next. Remember the story I told you about the old preacher and the dog was on the nail, and the man came and knocked on the man's door and said, "Will you tell your dog to stop howling? What's going on with your dog?" And he said, "My dog, he's sitting on the nail." He said, "Why won't you tell him to move?" He said, "When it hurt him bad enough, he will." Sometimes God allows pain and pressure to build up in your life to make you get up off your blessed assurance and do something for him. Sometimes that pain in your life is not being caused by the devil, is not being caused by your enemies, but it's God putting you in an incubator and pressing you and having you in the wine press so he can squeeze that oil that's in you out of your life. Until you get pressed enough, you will never become a diamond. Until you get pressed enough, the wine will never flow out of your life. The oil won't flow on your sermon until you go through some hard and tough moments. Oh, don't think your life is just gonna be easy after you get called to preach, because God gotta press some sermons out of you. God gotta press a word out of you. Don't you think your life gonna be all great when you become a CEO? God gotta press some leadership skills out of you. Until you're pressed and broken, you cannot understand what God is calling you to do. He said, "Come, let us go over to the other side." In this text, Brother Hawkins, I see you got your iPad as usual over there. In the New Living Translation, it says, it captures it, it titles it or captions it, Jonathan's Daring Plan. Well, my common sense would say Jonathan's Crazy Dumb Plan. You telling me, Sister Mary, that if the men tell me to climb up the side of this cliff, that means that's a sign God told me that you've given it to my hands. Hold on. I'm telling, can I talk to your sister Spell? See, with me, my thing would be if they fall off the mountain, those who don't survive, I'm going to cut them up for you, Lord. The ones that slip and fall off the mountain, that'll be my sign you gave them to me. But Jonathan said, no, if they call me up, first of all, it's easier to shoot bow and arrows down than up. First of all, you going down there, you gave the enemy an advantage. You standing at the bottom of a cliff, and it said it's one on one side, one on the other, so you can't run too far. You stuck in the middle. They got an aim on you. But you saying, if God is a sign, if they say, come up and fight us. What? You crazy? But that's the kind of faith you got to have. You got to have that radical, crazy, no common sense type faith, because that type of faith calls you to walk by faith and not by sight, and it begins to beat your flesh into submission. See, when you begin to step out on faith and you know you can't do it and ain't no way you're going to get out of it but God, you will listen to God a little clearer. Oh, yeah, I don't hear what I'm saying. People ask me, Why, how does the church grow and how do you keep growing even in the recession? How do people keep giving and stuff? And I let them know it ain't me, it's God. But one thing, he brought me out of a land that ain't my own. I don't nobody, so I'm so scared I can't do nothing but listen to God. I know the bylaws might upset some folk, but if it ain't lining up with the Bible, I can't listen to it too long. If you feel what I'm saying? Because God will put you in a place where you're uncomfortable. When you begin to get put in a place where you're uncomfortable, you can't help but listen to God, because that's the only way you know you can survive. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying? Oh, if they say come up to us, we'll go. First of all, he got to climb up the mountain, Brother McClendon. Climb up the mountain. I don't know if it went rock climbing. I used to go rock climbing, you know, on the fake rocks in Atlanta rocks. I used to go there for exercise, you know. I climb up on the wall, you know. If I got all the ropes on me, got little mats down there, so if I fall, it might hurt, but I ain't gonna die. You feel me? And you got little ropes to get down, and I ain't on no rock. I got safety harnesses and everything. You understand? But this man then climbed up the mountain, climbed up the side of a cliff. They didn't say a hill. They said he climbed up a cliff. Climbed up a cliff. Now, I don't know if you ever climbed up something or anything. It hurt. His arms had to be tired. His arms had to be cramping up. Yet he climbed up the mountain to fight the Philistine. What motivated Jonathan? What triggered this insane courage? What quelled his fear and fueled his faith? What gave him the guts to climb the cliff and with the intent of entering into the battle where he was outnumbered 10 to 1? What? After you climb up there, you got to fight in a battle, you outnumbered 10 to 1? The only way that we can psychoanalyze him, Deacon Dawkins, is just go to the text. Because I can't say, this is crazy. Let me just read the text to you. It says, perhaps the Lord will act in our behalf. Get out of here. Perhaps. See, most of us would say the opposite. Perhaps the Lord ain't going to act. Perhaps he not going to move. So let me stay over here. Daddy, where you at? Give me some of them pomegranate seeds. But Jonathan had radical faith. He said, perhaps God will be with us. See, oftentimes we let fear dictate our decisions and not faith. So we end up like Saul, hiding under pomegranate trees, hiding in our comfort zones, never being more than a conqueror, never being an overcomer like scripture called us, never to be a powerful man or woman of valor. We sit down and don't do anything. You know, cliff climbers and those with radical faith, they'd rather climb the mountain and fall down than to just sit there and do nothing. They'd rather jump up and try to get up the mountain and fail than to sit at home and never try before. Yeah, yeah. They'd rather make mistakes than miss opportunities. They understand that if they can just make this one step of faith, radical faith believers know if I just do this, not only will it cause me to be successful, not only will it bless my life, but it may change the course of history. People ask me, why do I do In Touch? Why do I try to do the basketball game? And people kept saying it was too big of a vision. I told them, look, if you just stay in your lane, and you do your part as a police officer. You do your part as a parks and rec. You do your part as a pastor. Let me be overwhelmed by the vision, because it ain't my vision. It's God's vision. And it's going to be big and it's going to be successful. Now they came back and say, we want you to make it bigger than you did last year. Because see, what God does, it puts you in an impossible situation so that your faith can be able to ignite somebody else. Because now they understand that it's a God out there that can do more than your degree. Thank you for the bars on my roll. But at the end of the day, hey, baby, it don't matter how many degrees I got. If I don't submit to the Holy Ghost, I won't have no power. That doctor degree ain't making me successful. What makes me successful is God. God said, study to show yourself approved so man can begin to validate who you are. He already called you and validated you. Oh, you don't understand. Before you was in your mother's womb, he knew you. You don't need a degree. You don't need all that stuff. You can have all the degrees behind your name like a thermometer and still not be successful if God does not put his blessed hands on your life. Yeah, people think I'm arrogant because I don't walk in fear, but I do walk in fear. Only person I'm scared of is God, though. I ain't scared of you. I ain't scared of your mama. I ain't scared of your daddy. I ain't scared of death itself, because my God said he does apply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. He told me if he began a good work in me, he gonna finish it. Not me. My confidence is not in Maxwell. My confidence is not in my doctorate degree. My confidence is in the bloodstained banner of Jesus Christ. I know he. Oh. See, our lack of courage is really a lack of faith. Yeah. Instead of playing to win, we playing not to lose. My daddy would get mad if we played cards together. And you throw out a little card if he didn't put something out there. And you still, you got the ace in your hand. Negro, play to win. You don't play to lose, you play to win. And that's wrong with church folk. We not playing to win, we playing not to lose. Oh, y'all playing not to lose. And see, and since Brother Chris Bales talked about me at 8 o'clock, he said, why you didn't talk about the Falcons? They should have played more defense. No, the defense wasn't the problem. The problem was they played it safe and they never score no more. Yeah. God said you were kicking the gates of hell. That's offense, not defense. The problem with the church is we don't kick in the gates of hell and take over territory from the devil. That's the problem with the church. They want to call Instagram the devil. The devil didn't make Instagram. He only can kill, steal, and destroy. The problem is the church don't infiltrate the territory. The reason why you can put on Facebook and Twitter and see more demonic stuff than church stuff, because the kingdom people are too stupid to take the territory over. I'm going to infiltrate Periscope. I'm going to infiltrate Facebook. I tell you right here, right now, there'll never be a means of getting communicated out to the gospel that we don't walk in. Back in the day, Brother Ross, they had it where certain Pentecostal denominations, they wouldn't accept converts from people that saw it on TV, because they said the TV was of the devil. Ignorant, stupid. And that's why the Bible says that the enemy's soul tears among the wheat while men slept, while the church was sleeping, not doing anything, letting the devil take over the territory. If the TV evangelist would have stopped worrying about people talking about him and infiltrated the territory, there would be more Christian things on TV than worldly mess. Stop letting it. See, the devil get bold in your life because you don't never play offense. Yeah, you want to play defense all day. Yeah, defense wins game, but Peyton Manning will tell you if you don't score, you ain't going to win. When you going to score? Even defensive players, they get interception. They more happy when they intercept and get a touchdown and score than when they tackle somebody. Everybody want to score. The reason why the church is so dead and decrepit is because we don't ever score. We want to sit down in the safety of the walls of our church. We don't want anybody that don't look like us. If they come in here with their pants hanging down, we want to put them out, then try to tell them what it is they need to do. So I'm telling you right now, baby, if you scared to infiltrate the territory of the devil, you in the wrong house with me here, baby. You better vote me out, put me out, shoot me out or something, because I'm not going to let the devil take no terror. I'm tired of preachers talking about take back what the devil stole from you. Why the devil stole it in the first place? Where's your power? Take back what the devil stole. I'm going to get back. Like if something happened, he shouldn't have stolen in the first place. But since I'm on the subject, when you take it back, keep it. I got to say it every now and then, because we don't walk in power. The angels get upset and say, what is man that you're mindful of him? You gave him the authority to walk with everything under his or her feet, yet they don't walk in the authority you gave them. I never have an angel talking about me in Hebrews. No, whatever power God gave me, I'm going to walk in it. I don't care if you call me crazy. I don't care if you call me insane. But one thing you will never call me is a loser, because God is the author and finisher of my faith. You might call me arrogant. You might call me crazy. You might call me ambitious. But one thing you ain't going to ever call me, baby, is a scaredy cat, because the only thing I'm fearing is God himself. Ooh. Stop running from the devil. You have authority over angels. And the devil is a fallen angel. If he's a fallen angel and you have authority over angels that's obedient to God, why in heaven or the other place are you running from the devil? You better kick in the gates of hell and tell hell, I'm coming down here to get my children. I'm coming down here to get my husband. I'm coming down here to get my wife. I'm coming down here to get my blessing. I'm coming, you ain't gonna take nothing else from me no more. I know my pastor was just fussing about it, but he on it right now. You better go down there and tell the Satan, you can't have nothing you took from me. And once I take it back this time, I dare you to come to my house. See, y'all, see, they thought Jesus died to keep you safe. Jesus died to make you dangerous. That's why he said the gates of hell shall not prevail. He didn't die just to save your soul. He said, I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. I didn't come down here, walk down 40 and two generations, enroll myself in the flesh, was born in the manger with nobody to witness me but sheep and oxen, was born and went to the cross where they put crown of thorns in my head and ripped out my flesh, put nails in my hands and in my feet, pierced me in my side. I didn't go through all that just to save your soul. I came down here to empower you and give you the power of the Holy Ghost, and you can do all things through Christ. I'm going to tell you right now, why folk don't come to church, it's boring. Get mad, I don't care. It's boring. God ain't never meant for church to be boring. First of all, you know why it's boring a lot of times? I'm not saying we got to come in here jumping up and down and all that stuff, but what I'm saying, we always, let me see this right quick. Oh, the program, they skipped what they were supposed to do. No, no, no. They're supposed to be on the altar prayer now. Did they change this from last week? The devil is a liar. He changed the order of the service. Oh, my God. We try to put the Holy Ghost on our own time frame. Somebody get here and say, hold on, Holy Ghost, not yet. We got to take up the offering first. Hold on, because I mean, one time, two, maybe three times, I went into a sermon and did the offering at the end. People were going crazy. Most of the folk don't give no how. What you mad about? Did you say that? I said that. I said that anyway. Okay. She be throwing her voice sometimes. She's like Willie Tyler and Lester. Remember that? Yeah, that's her. But the Holy Ghost is the dictator. That's a guide for us. In fact, we really don't even need one. It's funny how you put the announcements in here, but then people still want you to make announcements. Well, we had a screen and it was on the screen, we'd be all right. Well, it's in the bulletin. Just read it. But they want a bulletin, but they don't read it. They just want it. You know why? Because they really don't want a bulletin. They want tradition. They want you to do it the same way you did it all the time. But they don't understand God is like rivers of living water. He goes with the flow. And you got to catch God where you catch him at. He's like water. And he fills my container differently than he fills yours. He fills you differently. That's why we can't fight about stupid stuff. Your way may not be my way. But as long as we on the team for God, that's all. You get it done how you want to get it done. I get it done how I want to get it done. God uses our personalities in different ways. Stop trying to make everybody like you. God takes the shape of the container that he's in. If I pour water in a glass, it's going to be shaped like that glass. If I pour water in a bowl, it's going to be shaped like that bowl. The Holy Spirit takes on the shape of your personality. You just got to walk in the power he ordained you to walk in. Stop trying to be like somebody else. T.D. Jakes is one of my mentors from afar, and I've had a conversation with him before, worked with him before, but I don't try to be like T.D. Jakes. When people say, who you think you are, T.D. Jakes? No, I think I'm a servant of God. Now, it's a compliment on one hand, but on the other hand, if you're trying to be like somebody else, where's your anointing? See, y'all understand, do you know sometimes I believe your anointing just sitting beside you like, I'm going to jump in you once you be yourself. Once you stop trying to preach like everybody else, I'm going to get up in you in a minute. One day you're going to be yourself. I'm crazy. That's me. I can't be nothing but me. And it ought to be a testimony to if he can use crazy me, he can use you. Some people get mad. I don't know why he crazy. You ought to be like, well, if he called this crazy Negro right here, Jesus. Look what it said. Once Jonathan did what he's supposed to do, it said, so on that day, the Lord saved Israel. What is God trying to say through you that you ain't got enough boldness in you yet to get it? All it took was one radical act of faith. That's all it ever takes. Just take one risk. See, the thing about it is, you know what you're gonna, what's going to haunt you for the rest of your life? The opportunities you didn't take. You know why? Because you will never know. It's been many times I done went in a church conference or a board meeting with fear and trembling when I first got here. Jesus, Lord, you want me to go tell them that? They don't want to hear that. But the thing about it was I had to do what God. And the more scared I was, the more God showed up. The more God moved. You got to understand, stop putting the faith in yourself. It's not you, it's God. It's greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. He lives in you. The power is in you. God himself lives in you. What are you afraid of? Look at him. See, there's two types of people in the world. Those who ask why, and those who ask why not. Why people make excuses. Why not people look for opportunities. Why people are afraid to make mistakes. Why not people don't want to miss out on God's ordained opportunities. Jonathan was a why not type of person. He decided to fight the Philistines. He was tired of playing games. He wanted to play offense. How do you become a why not person? It starts on your knees. You have to be a man or woman of prayer. See, deacons, we had a meeting with a bishop, and the one thing the bishop brought to light, that scripture, when it says, he said, my house should be a house of prayer. He didn't say it need to be a house of preaching. He didn't say it need to be a house of teaching. He didn't say you had to sing. It's crazy. We get in here in a prayer meeting move, and I don't preach. Some of y'all will go out y'all mind. Don't we pay him to preach? Because you're looking for man too much. And the thing about it is, we need to have more prayer meetings than meetings. See, y'all have put up somebody who ain't got no power in prayer up in a meeting. When I pick folk to pray, I don't pick nobody to practice. You should have been practicing at home. This the game. I don't need you up here praying at a church conference. You ain't got no power. It's already crazy enough as it is. I ain't trying to make you practice up here. You need to be at home in your closet, because prayer ain't nothing but a conversation with God. If you get used to conversating with God in the dark, it'll be easy for you to conversate with him right here in front of everybody. The church has lost its power because we don't pray enough. Oh, we say we pray. But if we really prayed, our prayer print would make it places our footprint never would go. But don't use prayer as a cop-out. Because sometimes I ask folk to do something, and I say, I need you to do this. And they be like, I got to pray about it. First of all, if I'm the pastor asking you, apparently God done spoke to me, and that's the only reason I'm asking you, because I ain't going to ask you if God didn't tell me nothing. So when you say, I got to pray about it, that means you telling me no, because you really just using God to hide behind the veil, because you really should have been praying before I came to you. You would have already known. And some of y'all are praying like you're supposed to. You wouldn't be arguing with me all the time. You get on board, and you be walking with the vision, because you done already prayed to God, and God is just confirming what it is through me to you. But some of y'all that sit at home, you don't ever pray at all. If you get on your knees, you won't argue with me all the daggone time, because you'll be in line and in sync with the vision. I told you she knew ventriloquism this. See, prayer changes things. But don't be praying and making an excuse. We need to pray about it. We need to pray about it. Already prayed about it. Just follow me. You should have already been praying about it. Don't hide behind prayer. Some of y'all been praying about the same thing for 30 years. You're supposed to watch and pray. Faith without works is dead. When you pray, God is going to make you the change agent. You sit there praying about how they need to do something in Haiti. God really want to send you. You're talking about what they need to do downtown. God really trying to send you. When you start praying, you will stop praying for God to do stuff and say, God, use me. You will understand that God is not going to change anything. He's using you and making you into a change agent. You're supposed to be taking over territory from the devil. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. Jesus said you will do greater exploits in my name. Get up off your blessed assurance and do it in the power of God. Let me get up out of here. I'm trying. But Jesus declared war 2,000 years ago. He said that the gates of hell won't prevail. See, we all subject to pride, lust, anger, and jealousy. Those dictators often affect our decisions and our subconscious. But the worst fear, what the worst thing is fear. Fear begins to make you self-doubt. If the devil can put you in fear and make you self-doubt, you will be stuck in the same place all the time. You understand? Do you understand not making a decision is actually a decision? You're making a decision to stay where you are. But if the devil can get you to walk in fear and try to walk by sight and not by faith. Let me tell you something. One of the best things that happened to me in my life when I was doing a comedy show when I was about 16, 17 years old, I got booed because the mic wasn't working. Woo, it's like, it just got loud. I couldn't get away from it. But it didn't kill me. And believe me, I remember the first person that booed me. So the next night, they were there, and I sure went at them. I might have been scared to go to my car, but I got them. You hear me? But I'm saying, failure is not the enemy of success. If you have tried to succeed, you have failed before. Failure just tells you did it the wrong way this time. Do it another way. You understand? Failure teaches you stuff through experience. Failure going to make you pray before you act too. See, the problem is, now I'm not telling you to just go out here and do something. Jonathan prayed first. You understand? He prayed to God. He said, this is going to be the sign, because he had already had a prayer with God. The Bible can't write everything, but what he did was he had a conversation with God, and God told him what the sign was going to be. The problem is, you can't just step out and do something. It needs to be God. Long as it's God's will, you good. You feel me? As long as it's God's will, it don't matter who with you or who you not. If it's God's will, it's his bill. If it's his vision, he will provide the provision. Whatever God has ordained you to do, he's the author and finisher of it. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's going to do it. But anyway, but don't think that your faith has got to be what I do or what somebody else do. If you start comparing yourself to other people, you will never grow. See, the Bible says each of us was given a measure of faith. Everybody was given the same measure. The problem is you don't exercise it and grow it. You feel me? See, the sword of the spirit is the word. Right? The word is the sword of the spirit. Some of us don't have no sword. We got a little pocket knife. We got a pocket knife because we don't pray enough. Some of us got a butter knife. Some of us got a fingernail file. But a lot of us don't have swords because we ain't praying enough to magnify the Holy Ghost within us. When you pray and when you read the word, the Holy Ghost is magnified in you and your faith begins to grow. But you got to exercise it. You got to make the Holy Spirit bigger in you. You were all given a measure of faith, the same amount. So don't get mad at somebody else. You just ain't exercised your faith enough. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. This lady on the plane, she walked in faith. She couldn't speak English at all. And she rode the plane, and she was praying the whole time. And, you know, I was coming from Haiti, so I was like, okay, who's she praying to, though? Then I saw the cross, and I still went all the way. Then I heard her say, Jesus, I was like, okay, thank you, Jesus, we're good. You can pray all you want, because I don't know if I got to be casting demons out on this plane, but somebody going to come up out of here. You ain't going to be playing no 3-hour-and-a-half flight beside me if you ain't praying to God. So she couldn't speak English. The translator came over. She said, got some water, but then she needed to fill out her passport stuff. She prayed the whole time. I had to show her how to put a seatbelt on. She ain't know nothing. Could tell somebody just sent for her. Her family must have went to the States and probably was bringing her over. So she was just flying on faith. She was scared from takeoff. She prayed for 3 hours. Like, she ain't stopped. She was praying on the way to the bathroom, praying on the way. She ain't stopped praying. I think she was praying when she was drinking her water. She was praying. But the thing about it is, that wasn't a lot of faith for me, but it was faith for her. Whatever your amount of faith you own, you got to do it to get to where other people are. You don't just start off doing something big and doing stuff with the whole city. You got to do something small first, and then it builds up to where you're going. You understand? All right. So she prayed the whole time. So now the interpreter, Sister McCoy, wouldn't even interpret for the lady. I'm like, that's a bit rude. Y'all didn't learn from United that people really want you to serve? So this guy on one side of her, I'm on the other side, and she's in the middle. So I give her my pen. We're trying to go through the passport stuff. And so now we got it. And he says, oh, my friend, she speaks Creole and French. Thank you. And so he went up to the front. Thank God he was white, because, you know, I went in first class and Negro. We just can't walk up the first class without getting harassed. So he walks up the first class and go gets his friend who was black, which was cool. You know what I'm saying? But then she comes back and then we begin to talk about, and then she fills it out. The thing I'm telling you is this. This lady walked by faith and not by sight. God had provided on her left and her right. Even though the interpreter went and interpreted for her, he had made a way out of no way. Jonathan climbed up the mountain. You thought I forgot the text in you. He climbed up the mountain. Had to be tired. Arms had to be cramping up. He got up to the mountain and had a battle with 10-1. First of all, Deacon Spells, I dare you to climb up a mountain and come try to fight me, because the minute your hand gets to the top, I'm stepping on your fingers. Boop. Huh? But that's how bad God is. Jonathan said, God said, climb up there. So the enemy was so arrogant that they stepped back and let them climb up the mountain. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying? Do you understand? They could have killed Dr. King long before they killed him. He was stabbed and almost put a knife inches from his heart. They said if he would have sneezed, he would have died, because God covers you when it's your time to do what it is he wants you to do. God will cover you. Stop worrying about your life. If it's God's will, he'll cover you. He climbed up the mountain. Climb up the mountain. And what I love about Jonathan, he ain't hanging around nobody that didn't have faith. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying? See, some of y'all got a lot of friends, but some of your friends always talking about you, always doubting you, always telling you why you can't do it and why you can do it. Jonathan didn't hang around nobody like that. His armor bearer had faith. He said, look here, bro. He said, do everything you got in mind. Go ahead. I'm with you, heart and soul. You got to have some road dogs that got some faith, baby. Stop hanging around people that ain't got no faith. The reason why you ain't able to do nothing big, cause your circle too small. Not with numbers, but with the reality of you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Hang around some Holy Ghost filled folk. Jonathan said, I'm going to go up here and kill these folk. His armor bearer said, I'm with you. God said, one can set 1,000 flight and two can set 10,000. If I could just get one joker with me that can believe in the Holy Ghost,
We'll set this city on fire with Jesus. Stop worrying about somebody who don't like you. Stop worrying about people that ain't got faith. Stop worrying about big numbers. If you could just find somebody. Oh, I just got a revelation. Help me out. Help me out. I just got a revelation. God said one can set 1,000 flight. Two can set 10,000. Two jokers win against a 10-to-1 fight. You better tell me, my God, no matter how the odds stacked against me, I'm going to win. You going to win. You can do all things. Not some things. Not a lot of things. Not most things. But you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I need somebody with faith. Can I get another piece of iron? Because the iron can't sharpen itself. Iron sharpens iron. Hey, I need to find somebody that can walk with me. I need to find somebody that can be in agreement with me. Y'all better stop marrying these folk that ain't got no power. Stop marrying these folk who got money but no power. Stop marrying these folks who got a lot of degrees but ain't got no Holy Ghost. You need somebody with power. Hey, the Bible says it's woe to a person that walks by themselves, because if they fall, they ain't got nobody to pick them up. But I tell you, if you got somebody in agreement with you, when you weak, they'll pick you up and help you along your journey. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Some of y'all got a lot of folk on your bus, but you better put them off if they ain't got no power. Jonathan got up the mountain, climbed up the mountain, stabbed one person, cut the next, kept on walking. He didn't have to look back because he knew his armor bearer had his back. Jonathan cut him and the armor bearer finished him off. I wish I had a real church. Can I get a real church right now? Because when I go out and cut the city, and I go out and cut the police, and I go out and cut whoever, I need you behind me taking up territory from the devil. I shouldn't have to kill him. All I gotta do is cut him and mark the territory. You should be right behind me cutting them up. Hey! I ain't serving no weak church. I ain't serving no church that ain't got the Holy Ghost. We gonna walk in power. Ain't no angel gonna talk about me and tell me I ain't walking in my authority. Ain't no angel gonna be up there talking about me, talking about Maxwell ain't taking over the territory he's supposed to take over. No, baby. Y'all might get mad at me, but one person ain't gonna be mad at me. It's the Holy Ghost and God. See, why God calls you to walk by faith. Let me tell you. He calls you to walk by faith because your mind is the only thing the devil got power to influence. And see, when you walk by faith, you don't even know why you're doing it. Because you're doing it for God. It makes no sense. It made no sense for me to come and leave Atlanta to come to a job that was paying me less than what I made and leave my real estate company, leave my family, leave everybody to come to a place I didn't know. Where every pastor told me not to come to because of the bylaws and because of the year probation. Everybody told me not to come. It didn't make no sense. But God said, I use the foolishness of man to confine the wise. It made a lot of common sense to stay, but it made more Holy Ghost sense to go. Oh, y'all don't hear it, to come. Yeah, whatever you want. You feel me? God allows you to walk in places as well. Because when you walk by faith, when you start doubting and stuff, that's just your flesh getting beat into submission. When you begin to walk in a place where you know it's not you,
where you know you can't really do what it is God has called you to do. And you understand that you're limited. Only the only reason you can succeed is by him. God put Jonathan in a situation where he knew it wasn't him. He climbed the mountain tired. Had to be thinking, if Maxwell up there, he going to step on my fingers. He going to stab me before I get up this mountain. But God calls the enemy to step back. And when you begin to do mighty things for God, with two people doing all that, one can set 1,000 into what? Flight. That's running. Two can set 10,000 into flight. The enemy will flee from the church if we walk like we're supposed to. You know what really woke me up and grieved my spirit was when that boy about 3-4 years ago got murdered at BP. That's too close in the radius of this church for somebody to get murdered. The demonic power should fear walking on our street. They should be scared to come in the house of God. They shouldn't mess with anybody on our block. But the problem is we keep playing defense in that offense. Tell your son, the Patriots score, but we ain't score no more. That's why we lost. We ain't play offense. Defense, they say, wins games, but if you don't score, the devil gets bolder when we don't kick in the gates of hell. See, if we kicking in the gates of hell, he won't come out. We're supposed to be kicking in the gates of hell, but we standing back playing defense, so the gates of hell opening and walking up in the world because we ain't infiltrating the territory. Somebody should be anointed to go in the prostitute house and pull them out. Now, if you got a problem with women, don't go. Being practical now, don't go nowhere pulling out nobody. You might get stuck in there. But you're supposed to be taking over territory. Somebody in here got a drug ministry, should be going out to the crack house and pulling folk out of there. We supposed to be kicking in the gates of hell. We supposed to be picking fights like Jonathan, but we sitting under the pomegranate tree, sitting in the walls of the church, just being happy with the world dying. Because we just want to feel safe. But Jesus didn't die just for your salvation. He died to make you dangerous. He died to use you for a weapon to promote the kingdom of God. Do you understand that? See, the devil ain't gonna, the devil don't care. As long as we just having church, I can preach all day long. If y'all just come to church and sit down here, ain't no attacks coming because he already know you're going to heaven. Your soul ain't going to never be messed up. You covered with the blood of Jesus already. But it's, he wants to mess up your witness and make you so mad at the church that you don't witness anybody. Or make you so bitter that you talk about the church and people see what you're talking about and they don't come because you done scared the unchurched folk away. Because they're like, well, the church, that crazy. I might as well stay at my job. The devil is infiltrating our territory. Has anybody ever disrespected you in your own house? Oh, you could talk gentle to me. You come in my house? Jesus. I hope ain't no digging in at a witness what I'm going to do if you disrespect me in my own house. But that's the problem. But we let the devil infiltrate our territory. We should be more offended when the devil try to mess up the house of God than when he messing up our own house. I'm going to tell you this right now. God has some of us in some tough situations. You thought it was the devil. It's not the devil. It ain't your enemy. It's God. God will allow you to be in an uncomfortable position so he can get the chafe out of you. So he can pull some impediments of your faith out of you and take you to the next level. Some of you all didn't get attacked at all until you joined church. You know why you got attacked? Because now the devil is attacking you. You was on his team. And now God is showing you all the impediments of your faith and all the things that were hindering you and all the things that was in the way. And he's flushing them to the surface. So when you get rid of them, you'll walk with raw, radical faith. Don't you let the devil limit you and your abilities because God already knows that you're limited. See, y'all understand. Jesus, I'm going to sit down. Jesus would have never went to the cross. He would have never walked down 40 in two generations. He would have never enrobed himself in the flesh, came out Emmanuel. He would have never, ever been born and went down the way of Via Dolorosa and they put crowns of thorns in his head. He never would have got pierced in the side. He never would have let them pluck out his beard. He never would have got spit on. He never would have went the way of suffering. He never would have went to the old rugged cross if he knew you could have done it on your own. But because he loved you so much and he knew your spirit was willing but your flesh was weak, he said, I'm going to go to the cross, and when I die, I'm going to give you the paraclete. I'm going to give you the advocate. I'm going to give you the helper. I'm going to give you the intercessor in the form of the Holy Ghost. And you will be able to do all things through Christ who strengthens you. He died so that you may have life more abundantly. When he got out the grave, he gave us the power of the Holy Ghost. How the old school folks say it. You can't lose with the stuff you use as long as it's the Holy Ghost.